Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friend, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Dirt Sheet, the only place you need to be going for your pro wrestling news right here at YouTube.com/Stephen Larson, and anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit the subscribe button, because YouTube likes to unsubscribe people, Larson.
True.
Where else can we be found?
Patreon at patreon.com/Stephen Larson.
Yes. And prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where we have 7 wonderful designs, including that one.
Correct.
Yes. So we're going to talk about the news, and probably, it's kind of a light news week, but probably the biggest news and...
Oh, this is huge news. What are you talking about?
This is massive news?
This news is more or less dictating our programming schedule for the entire weekend. And of course, I'm talking about the announcement that came Tuesday that we're going to get a Vince McMahon biopic.
They're going to make a movie about me.
A movie about the life or part of the life of Vince McMahon.
Yes, correct.
So here's what we know.
Yeah.
I believe Hollywood Reporter broke the story. The film is currently titled Pandemonium.
Pandemonium.
TriStar Pictures is currently negotiating for the rights for the movie, which will be produced by Andrew Lazar. He's one of the producers of American Sniper.
Okay.
WWE Studios is producing, along with Aperture Entertainment.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised, like, when we first found out. So it was written by Craig A. Williams, who wrote Underdog in 2007.
Yes.
That's all we could find about, well, I mean, there's other stuff that's preceding
that. That was his only feature-length script.
I'm sure he's done other writing since then. But this was kind of interesting. The duo of John Requa and Glenn Fincara, who are apparently attached to direct it.
Yes, they directed a Crazy Stupid Love, the Steve Carell movie.
Which is whatever, but then I hear a lot of good things about This Is Us.
Yeah, and they're executive producing that.
Yeah, on NBC. So yeah. I've heard good things about that.
As
so,
have I.
So, you know, you never know.
Yeah, and apparently the script for this Vince McMahon movie first started kind of making the rounds last summer.
Right.
But no studio wanted to touch it until the McMahons were on board. And seeing that WWE Studios is one of the production companies producing this movie, Vince McMahon's on board.
Well, the concern was McMahon wouldn't be on board with, you know, doing this, and that's why nobody would touch it.
Yeah.
But now that he is on board and WWE Studios is part of it, it's getting kind of interesting with... This is going to be a bad. This is going
to
be a terrible.
Well, let's wait. Let's get to the stuff we know. Let's get to the things we know first, okay? And then Deadline also mentions that according to them, the film will cover we'll cover the period, I guess, when McMahon was trying to build up WWF as, you know, a national wrestling promotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Deadline said.
Yeah.
Today, Thursday, pwinsider.com put up a really lengthy breakdown of, it seems like, various drafts of the script. The author of that story, I don't know if he'd actually read any of them, but it seems like he got a lot of this information secondhand from people who had read the script or at least had knowledge of it.
Right.
And based on PW Insider's breakdown of the script, it seems like the film's going to start in the 1970s before Vince bought WWF from his father.
Yeah.
And going to continue at least to the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
Maybe further. We don't know. PW Insider's story also mentions that Vince will likely have final script approval, not surprising, and that new writers may be brought in now that WWE Studios is co-producing the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So we read this breakdown.
It's fascinating.
We won't go point by point because there's a lot to get through if we do that.
Okay, there's a couple things that I can point out here. Number one, I love when VH1 has biopics.
Oh, yeah.
They did the TLC one,
yeah,
which was amazing because they're so bad. They're so bad. But in them being bad, they're amazing. They're so much fun, especially stuff like TLC, which, like, we lived through them becoming popular. And so it was a nostalgia trip. But apparently, according to the breakdown, there is, and this sort of sets the stage for everything, there is a disclaimer at the beginning that says this movie is as true as pro wrestling is.
As anything in professional wrestling, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that sort of gives you...
Which, if they use that as the starting point,
yeah,
you know, they can kind of you know, knowingly, with kind of a wink, do kind of this alternative history of Vince McMahon that could be interesting.
Yeah.
As long as they acknowledge that.
Yeah. I feel like they should either go completely kayfabe universe. Like, okay, so one of the things it says that Vince McMahon found, what, Junkyard Dog, Roddy Piper, and Snuka?
Well, it said that Junkyard Dog was a construction worker.
Right.
Piper was in jail.
And Snuka was a porn actor.
Yeah, and that Andre the Giant owned a French restaurant in Montreal. And that's where Vince discovered
him. That's where he discovered all of it, which obviously is not true across the board. Which is great. So if it's that kind of thing, then, you know, if it's like his story but told in kayfabe.
We need to make a point of saying that this whole breakdown of the various drafts of the script seemingly were written before Vince and WWE Studios attached.
Yeah, and so that, like, for example, there was one thing where him and Macho Man are talking about the fact that Macho Man has a lot of young female fans, like Stephanie's age, and Macho Man says something to the thing of, I would never touch her. Which is like in a weird way of addressing the Stephanie Macho Man rumors that have been, you know, littered across shoot interviews over the past 20 years. So like, that's not going to make it.
No.
That's not going to do anything. But then there's like, there are silly things like when Linda tells Vince that she's pregnant with Shane, with what ends up being Shane. They're like at the strip club, apparently, that Linda waitresses at. And Vince says, well, you're not going to work here then. And then he starts to leave and the manager says, no, you can't leave. And Vince kicks his ass and Linda's turned on by it. Like, if that's in the movie, then that it could be hilariously bad.
Yeah.
Because then you're sort of buying into the whole kayfabe Vince history thing. You know what I mean?
And again, if that's the route they take, they can make it interesting.
Right.
By acknowledging that.
Yeah. I would think that's kind of going to be like a tongue-in-cheek way. I kind of feel like that's what they're going to aim for here.
I don't know. Anyways, we go into pretty significant detail discussing who we want to see cast as Vince.
Yeah.
This weekend on an episode of Count Out, Dream Casting. But we don't go into any real particulars about other things we would like to see from this movie.
Right.
So right now, let's take an opportunity to predict, to speculate, make a wish list of some things we want to see from the Vince McMahon biopic. I did mention this on Count Out, and I'm going to bring it up here again. That if they don't want to deal with rights issues of getting rights to dozens, if not hundreds, of wrestlers, then they should really concentrate on that span of time where he was buying up territories and making WWF a national brand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me as a wrestling fan, I think that'd be the most interesting aspect of his story.
Mm-hmm.
The procedural aspects behind all that, I think, would be really interesting. And can I say, David Fincher directs the Vince McMahon biopic, and it's like, it's a procedural.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. Yeah. You mentioned a Paul Thomas Anderson character study.
Yes.
How encompassing would you want that? Vince's entire life or a particular period?
Entire life. He comes out of the womb. I'm here! And then he starts looking the nurse up and down. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Honestly, dude, I want this to be a cheesy VH1-style biopic. That's what I want.
Okay.
What you're I'm kind of being more realistic than you, because
David Fincher to direct it. That's not realistic at all. Come on,
like, your wish list is great. Yes, I would love that, but I kind of live in the world of like you know, that's nowhere close to being realistic.
I understand that. That's why it's a wish list.
But I don't know, man. I mean, I kind of want something that's like hugely entertaining too, because like what you're talking about would be great. I mean, it'd be fantastic. On the other hand, like we kind of know that story. Like we kind of know, like we've seen in documentaries, we've seen that kind of thing. I mean, it's Fincher. I'd love that. And Sorkin writes it. Fantastic.
That'd be fantastic.
No, that'd be really good. I want Sorkin to write it. But instead, we're getting the guy to Underdog. Hey, no disrespect. People got to earn a living. What else would I want to? I don't know. I do. I think, look, it's called Pandemonium. Like, I want this to be like, what was that Jerry Springer movie they did? They did a Jerry, remember? And Jerry was in it.
Yeah,
played
vaguely.
Himself.
Yeah.
And it was like a movie version of like what it, like.
Yeah, his show.
Like
was,
his
right?
kayfabe, like yeah. his show kayfabe, yeah, though. Yeah. That's what I'd want. That's what it's going to be.
No,
like,
I know.
That's what it's going
to
be.
I guess I would just like it to be interesting. I don't want it to be...
It's not going
to
be interesting.
...like an alternate history that they want to pass as real.
That's exactly... Oh, it my probably God. Is. That's exactly what it's going to be.
It probably is.
No.
But they could do that, but then kind of with the wink...
Yeah.
...acknowledge that it's all bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be... Well, I don't know. I think they're going to do that, too. I think it's going to be that element. I mean, the fact that they would have that disclaimer...
If it stays, yeah.
If it stays. I mean, yeah. And I think that's the direction they're going to go. I mean, dude, come on. They're not going to... Vince would never let, like, what actually, you know, stuff that he's actually done make it in that movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a weird guy. No, I don't know. If I had my druthers, I would go with what I said. I would go, although I haven't seen his last, I saw Inherent Vice. I didn't see The Master.
Oh.
And you said it was kind of iffy.
Yeah, it was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
But I think it was supposed to be kind of a mess. Structurally.
But if there was a There Will Be Blood of Vince McMahon, I think that would be fantastic. I think that would be really, really fascinating to watch. So that would be my wish list thing.
Yeah.
And you can encompass like buying up the territories and stuff. I mean, if you watch There Will Be Blood, tell me it's not Vince McMahon.
Oh, I know.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, in terms of the rights, here's my thing, like selling wrestlers on like using their likenesses or whatever, their names or whatever. WWE seems to be in pretty stable ground with most of the wrestlers that I can think of.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of some of the scenes that they describe in this breakdown. I don't know if some wrestlers would be on board with it, or the estates of some wrestlers.
Well, give me an example.
Well, I'll just use here. What was the first one I have pulled up? Right here. There is apparently a scene in here of a brawl between Randy Savage and Roddy Piper on a plane, with the idea that it was brought on by Roid Rage, that's featured in a later draft. I mean, I don't... Do you think the estate of Macho Man would be okay with that?
No, not if it involved Roid Rage. Not if it involved Roid Rage.
Yeah.
And the estate of Macho Man is a little bit different. I would think that his brother especially, and I would assume that his brother would probably... And I guess his wife would probably have final say. I have no idea. But I would think that they would be along the lines of, hey, you know what, treat Macho Man with a certain, probably a bit more amount of respect. And I think some of this is going to be, look, I don't think they're going to have, like the bit about Hulk Hogan being concerned about steroids affecting the size of his junk. That's not going to be in there.
No.
And so if you make it sort of a romp, if you will,
mm-hmm.
almost like, hey, this is going to be kind of a roast of Vince.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think in terms of like, I think people would be jumping on board left and right with this. Be like, yeah, I'll take whatever minimum you need to give legally.
Yeah.
And they'll jump on board with it. The salacious stuff isn't going to be WWE Studios film. I'm surprised it isn't going to be animated. You know what I mean? Like, that's how cartoonishly stupid this is going to be, because Vince McMahon is at the helm and they're going to want to do something that's like,
it's going to be like
family friendly.
It's going to be like the Jetsons movie where,
yes,
where Spacely Sprockets says, Vince, this is your life.
Yes, that's exactly right. Spacely Sprockets. That's a good reference. That's what it's going to be, because they're not really on bad. I mean, who are they on bad terms with these days?
So Punk. Superstar.
Yeah, CM Punk's not going to be in this. Superstar Billy Graham, he's not going to be in it because he hates the WWE now. Who else hates the WWE right now? Even Jim Cornette's going to be. Jim Cornette's probably going to play himself.
Yeah, I don't know.
People are going to be chomping at the bit to see this movie and to participate in this movie.
Potentially.
It would be an honor to participate
well,
in this
there's
movie.
One thing to participate, but depending on what the budget is, whether the studio can afford...
They'll take the minimum. Everybody'll just want to be involved.
We'll
in
see.
This. Absolutely.
We'll
man.
See.
Absolutely. Even Ted Turner would want to be involved in this.
They should get was it Will Forte? Ted Turner.
Oh my God. You're right. Oh my God, that's right.
On Conan O'Brien show.
Yes, that's right. Will Forte is Ted Turner.
Ride in on a buffalo.
Oh, that's great. Abs, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be so bad. It's going to be so bad, and it's not going to be nearly as fascinating as it should be. But it's going to be so bad. It's going to be so cheesy. But it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be great. It's going to be WWE's celebration of their company.
I know.
It's going to be their big trash movie that they're going to make.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that'll be fine though. Like they'll get the big names on, but like Warrior will be in it probably,
you
know.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett won't be in it.
No.
but a Hogan will be in it. Yeah. It'll be good. WCW. Yeah, that's going to be good. Anyways, what else is going on?
Adam Cole, he's almost a free agent, Steve.
Also in the new Adam Cole, baby.
So Adam Cole recently did an interview with ESPN talking about his impending free agency, because I guess on May 1st, Monday.
Adam Cole's only 27 years old.
He's a young guy.
Man.
On May 1st, Adam Cole will be officially a free agent. His Ring of Honor contract runs out April 30th.
Oh, boy.
And here are some kind of interesting quotes from this interview with ESPN.
Quick.
I know. Adam says, for me, which a lot of people ask this, I still haven't made a decision on what I'm doing.
Yeah, you have, Adam.
This is the first time I'm going to check and see the interests of other companies and see where everyone else stands. I'm going to kind of look out and see what everyone else has going on and what else is out there, and then kind of play it from there. We'll see as far as negotiating any type of contracts, whether that be with Ring of Honor or with any other company. He talks about what he'd like to do if he were to sign with WWE. He says, I'd want to start in NXT because, first of all, I'm a fan of NXT. I think the brand is cool. I think the takeover shows are awesome. I think the fans are great. I love the roster of guys. I think it's something that's going to be looked at as a very special time in pro wrestling, so I want to be part of it. He wants to go to NXT.
I'm telling you right now, he's confirmed for PWG May 19th because it's called Head Like a Cole.
Yes.
He's going to be taking on Sami Callihan. Those tickets go on sale tonight. I might take Lacey to LA.
Because that might be his last independent show for a while.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? He's talking about NXT so much.
I know.
He's talked about
this
it so
This is not the
often.
First time he's talked about going to NXT.
He's hot, dude. His star is huge right now.
I know.
He's so good.
But then he also kind of mentioned what might, other things he wants to do.
Yeah.
He talks about potentially having a match against Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Again, quote, the whole story with myself and Kenny is, the Young Bucks describe it perfectly. They say it's two alpha males who just don't see eye to eye. That's exactly how we feel. As far as I'm concerned, I think you could expect or hopefully get to see a match with myself and Kenny very, very soon. We got to have a friendly competition match where we could get this out of our system. We need to fight it out like brothers, hopefully very soon.
When is the...
The War of the Worlds?
It's
in May.
It's in May?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure Kenny's going to be...
Yeah. They did. They had that
pixelated
picture.
Thing?
They were... Yeah. You know, that was pixelated. They were slowly revealing who was going to be in there.
Yeah.
And it was pretty obvious that Kenny Omega was one of the people there.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that. I mean, he's saying hopefully very soon. He's telegraphing. This is basically a done deal. So, I don't know. June 1st, this guy's at NXT. I think that's going to happen. Dude.
Could be. But didn't in the newsletter this week, Meltzer was talking about Kyle O'Reilly specifically? Because he was talking in his breakdown of the last
PWG show.
About how fans at the show weren't maybe as into Adam Cole's match and Kyle O'Reilly's match because they knew they were going to lose because they, the assumption is that both those guys are going to WWE at some juncture very soon.
Yeah.
And that Ring of Honor filed some lawsuit against WWE over tampering.
They sent them some
legal papers or something.
Yeah, don't do this. Yeah.
And so the WWE was, giving themselves a grace period after contracts are up before they would start negotiating with people.
Yeah.
So maybe that's going to be the case here. It could be a few months.
Yeah, that could be. It could be a few months. I mean, let him get, those indie dates out of the way. Let him fight Kenny Omega.
Maybe, have a few matches in Japan or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be.
Or he could, I wouldn't be surprised if he re-signed with Ring of Honor for another year. Did what Kenny did.
That could be.
Get the last few things he wants to get done, out of the way,
because
in a year from now, so long as he's healthy, he'll still be a hot free agent.
He's not the kind of guy who has matches that really.
He's not a match of the year factory like Kenny Omega is.
Well,
he puts on really good matches.
Yeah. Well, in addition to that, his style isn't necessarily one that's going to wear and tear in the body quick. It's not I mean, the Young Bucks, I think they're hovering around 30. Like, one's 31 and the other's, 29
or something like that. Yeah, one of them was already saying they're having back troubles.
Exactly. Guys like that. Guys like Will Ospreay, young, but they're... Adam Cole's not like that.
No.
Adam Cole's going to have a long career if he wants
to. He actually makes it a joke in his matches that he doesn't do any of the high-risk stuff.
Exactly. So, look, he has plenty of time. I would think that when you're coming to the end of your contract and you have options in front of you, you start thinking about, oh, I can do, I have like the world is my oyster essentially. And he knows that he probably has an open invite to NXT and it says if he wants it, and that must be very liberating. So, I mean, it's all probably up to Adam Cole, you know, whatever he wants to do, he'll probably get to do it. And the fact that he understands and he has accepted that, because he's not like a go straight to main guy. He needs to go through NXT.
And he seems to want that.
But that's the fact that he's talked about it so much. I think he's doing it. I mean, he's a 3-time Ring of Honor champion.
The only person to ever do it.
And that's the thing. Like, you say, what if he re-signs the Ring of Honor for another year?
There's nothing really for him to do in Ring of Honor, I know. But, I mean, if he wants to, maybe he signs with New Japan for
that
a year.
That could be.
So he can have his match or series of matches with Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm, that could be.
You know?
Or he can just do that. Don't have to sign anywhere. He can just do that if he wants to
do
that.
Yeah, take 6 months, do what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Then come to WWE or NXT leading up to, I don't know, the fall Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Takeover in Houston.
Could be.
Huge debut.
What if he debuts at the Royal Rumble, but it's okay that he loses, he doesn't win the Royal Rumble because he just goes to NXT from there? Unique path. Nobody's ever done that before.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah.
Don't think they have.
No. So let us know in the comments if you guys want to see Adam Cole, baby, in NXT, or do you want to see him just do whatever he wants to do?
Or both.
You can't really do anything you want to do if you're in NXT, though.
No, he can do anything he wants to do, then go to NXT.
That's true. Very true. Larson, we're going to be at Raw on Monday.
May 1st.
Are we going to see
first day Adam Cole's a free agent. Is Adam Cole going to be at Raw? Yes or no?
Probably not. However, there's the chance that Broken Matt Hardy will be. Do you know why?
Why?
Because there are whispers, according to Cage Side Seats, that the WWE has reached an agreement to buy the Broken gimmick from TNA. We keep referring to them as such. They are Impact Wrestling.
Well, no, that's what Cage Side Seats had in their rumor.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think they're just considered Impact Wrestling
they
at
are.
This point.
Yeah. They dropped the TNA, except from their title belts,
can
apparently.
Can we continue to refer to them as TNA?
Sure.
I'm going to, when I do my review at my YouTube channel, MF Steve here, I'm going to just refer to it as TNA review.
Well, that might hurt your search, though, Steve. You have to consider these things.
It doesn't matter. YouTube doesn't pay me anything anyways.
Well, you still want people to watch your stuff.
What?
You want people to watch your stuff, don't you?
It says you.
Okay. And then if that's the case, just put them all up as unlisted.
That's a good idea. I might try that. So anyways, we've talked about this a lot. Like, going back to when the Hardys were rumored to be leaving Impact, we've had, like, you know, Hardy's to WWE, Broken gimmick to WWE. Now, the whispers are, you know, and they're not confirmed.
Yeah, well, they could be as soon as this Sunday, maybe.
I know.
Potentially. And you mentioned in our Payback predictions that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
That if they were to drop the tag titles at Payback to Cesaro and Sheamus, that it would be in anticipation of the debut of Broken Matt Hardy.
That would be the appropriate incident to get
or
Matt
at least
Hardy.
The start.
Yeah. And on top of that, it makes you wonder, like, because at the House of Hardcore show that the Hardys showed up at, Matt was completely and totally in broken character.
Yeah.
And I know that didn't air on TV.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
No.
So he could, like, do that. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's, you know, I like that he's, it's funny. I thought for sure that there was no way WWE was going to spend a legal dime on this Broken business. But evidently they see money in it.
I wonder if Vince was sitting in the gorilla position at WrestleMania and heard 70,000 people chanting delete and then thought, all right, I'll write a check for that.
No, man, he turned to Michael Hayes and said, Michael Hayes, Freebird, get some shirts that say delete on him. And he says, oh, we can't do that, Vince. It's owned by who owns it? Impact. What's that? TNA.
It's the promotion with the owl.
Oh, isn't Jeff Jarrett there? Get him on the phone. I want to buy him.
Double J.
Oh, man.
So, you know, as we spoke about, you kind of predicted this potentially as an outcome for Payback.
Potentially.
How likely is it? If the rumor is true, if WWE is now the owner of the Broken Universe IP.
I would think they'd want to go straight ahead with it. I mean, look, I'll say this. We will know for certain Man, God, I don't know.
But here's the thing, though. I kind of feel like...
They'll at least tease it.
Yes.
They will at least tease it. And if they tease it, we'll know.
I feel like they need to build to that, though.
I agree. No,
if they have him lose and he shows up Monday in full broken Matt Hardy character, it's going to be jarring. They need... I mean, because he... Matt's laid the groundwork on Twitter. Yeah. But if you don't pay... You know, he still does delete and wonderful during shows.
One loss should not equate being broken.
I know.
Yeah, I know. And especially this is our own Sheamus.
I know.
Like, it has to be, like, either a series or, like, a continued, like, repeated losses, something like that.
Yes, something has to break him again.
Unless they make it... I think his original incident, which broke him... was literally like a physical fall, from a ladder or something like that. So, look, Cesaro and Sheamus, especially Sheamus, known as, you know, a brawling type.
Stiff worker.
A couple bro kicks to the head. Maybe that'll break him.
Could be. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But at least, if WWE has bought that IP,
we'll know.
They're going to start laying the groundwork.
We'll be there on Sunday.
And Monday.
And on Monday. And we'll be able to see... at least a tease of it.
So, more so than they've already been teasing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, up until now. It's funny because it has been exactly as you said. They're going to let him do just enough until they get the legal stuff sorted out. And I just figured, they have the Hardy Boys. What do they care? But you're right. The nostalgia thing only goes so far. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see that they're cognizant of that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, the fact that they were planning on sending Bully Ray, you know, or
oh, yeah,
transitioning Bubba Ray to Bully Ray... is kind of evidence of that too.
Yeah.
You know, that they're kind of cognizant of the fact that...
Well, I wonder too if how, you know, the Dudley's last run in WWE went as a purely nostalgia act, if that maybe, you know, changed their attitude towards nostalgia acts in general.
That could be. I mean, if you think about it, you know, the rumor was always that Vince wanted Jeff back, but not Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to understand that there was value in broken Matt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so they know what they're doing sometimes.
Sometimes.
Anyways, let's answer some questions.
Okay, first one from Heel Smurf. Hey, fellas, been watching a lot of Shine lately, which I've been loving. So here's my question. Do you think a female-only show, women's show, could work in WWE a la NXT? I think it could as long as Vince isn't involved too much. Also, who do you think should lead it? In Shine, they have Lexi Fife and Daphne Bookit, and it works great.
Hmm.
Sara Del Rey, she would have to be involved.
Yeah, for sure.
I would like to hope that Candice LeRae would be one of the competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think who else.
Oh, I'm not going to spoil that.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Who else? Who are some other women's wrestlers out there?
You know,
see involved.
Who are the Progress lasses that we saw?
Oh, there was
Toni Storm.
Yeah, and Jenny Couture.
Jenny Couture.
Yeah.
I am not well read on when it comes to women's wrestling, like not as much as I should be.
Mm-hmm.
So ODB, I want to see ODB.
Oh yeah. I think she's still with Impact maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Could it work? Yeah, I think it could. I think that sort of like we've heard rumblings that that's the plan.
Yeah. After the tournament this summer.
Yeah. The women's tournament this summer. Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if some of the indie women wrestlers they brought into NXT that really haven't either had a lot of TV time or haven't debuted on TV yet, if they would have them in the women's tournament and then transition them to the women's promotion or show. Sorry.
Who is it? Thea Trinidad?
Mm-hmm.
Who's she with? Like
Austin Aries.
Austin Aries. But then she's going to be partnering up with, to some degree, with Andrade.
Oh, that's right. Almas. Yeah, we heard that. Yeah.
So she's in the fold. And she played AJ Lee, I think, in the Paige movie.
Yeah.
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 I like this question here. This came to us from on the Twitters from Corey Carmona at Corey Carmona. Although he calls himself Chalupa Batman. He said, do you think the WWE could benefit from sending some homegrown PC guys and gals on excursion like New Japan does with Young Lions on excursion? I kind of feel like NXT is kind of excursion ish. They do those.
Well,
those
they tour touring Florida.
The developmental shows. Yeah. They would need a relationship with...
And I think that's the thing, is that WWE is so, you know, they want to own everything. They want to control their IPs.
Yeah.
So, granted, they have some sort of working relationship now with ICW and Progress, so I guess that could be an option.
Well, that's the thing. I think it would be a question that should be asked 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be really interesting to see if WWE does follow through with the rumors that we've heard that they want to expand into territories and have little satellite promotions that are local based, that are territorial.
Yes.
So if that's the case, then yeah, sending, you know, their own young lions out to those WWE owned satellite localities, if you will.
Yeah.
Would be a good idea.
Yeah, could be interesting. Yeah. The Hoss Man Cometh. Hey, friendos, with the recent change to the NXT opening theme, it made me realize how much I missed the old opening that used Welcome Home by Coheed and Cambria.
Is that the first one?
I don't know.
That we, yeah, I don't know.
Didn't sound like Coheed, the last one. I could be wrong. I'm not that familiar with their work. That being said, what has been your favorite licensed song or song by a major recording artist that has been used as a theme for a show or wrestler?
I mean,
Cult of Personality.
Yeah.
For CM Punk.
It's funny because he mentions CM Punk, This Fire Burns by Killswitch Engage, which is actually a good one, too. I like that one as well. But yeah, Cult of Personality was, I mean, that's literally my ringtone.
I know. You really can't get better than that one.
You can't get better than that one. All of the current one, the Aleister Black one, I know that's not like a licensed song. So I'm not going to say. I don't think it's a licensed song. I have no idea, though.
I'm trying to think.
Jimi Hendrix,
Voodoo Hogan. Child.
Yeah, Voodoo Child.
Yeah, both the Motorhead songs Triple H uses are good.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think what else.
Do you think those were custom from the WWE?
Oh, wait. Well, I mean, I'm sure they were commissioned to write them.
Right. Know? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why Lemmy would have a song called "The Game" on the Motorhead album. I could be wrong.
Or Evolution.
Yeah. Oh, there's three of them. Yeah. There's Bow Down, The Game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's all about the game.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then there's Evolution.
Yeah.
Trying to think
the
what else.
The Kane theme by Finger 11. That was my favorite. Terrible.
Isn't Edge's theme by a recording artist?
Oh, Nickelback, yeah.
No. The no name but really cool title holder. So seeing that WWE has become a lawless state.
Whoa.
Who would be the sheriff and deputy of Raw and on SmackDown?
No law in all of Deadwood. That's what they say.
Yeah, so who would be the Seth Bullock?
Seth Rollins.
Okay, for Raw. There you go.
And SmackDown, John Cena.
Okay.
But he's never there. That's why it's crazy town. It's crazy town. Baron Corbin. No, he's more of a...
No, he's more of an outlaw.
Outlaw. There you go. Outlaw. Marcius Mark says, hey, friendos, with all the wrestlers that will or should retire, who do you see going into the Hall of Fame? He says, here are some that I see retiring this year. Goldust, Mark Henry, Will... Kane, R-Truth, and Vince McMahon.
Vince isn't retiring anytime soon.
Let's run through these names. Vince, I think, will go in posthumously.
Yes.
Unless he has a big to-do about retiring. Do you see that happening? Yeah, me neither.
No.
You don't see him ever saying, I'm done.
No.
The thing is, I think he's in really, really good shape. So it wouldn't surprise... How old is he?
70-something? I think early 70s. I think early he just turned 70s? 70 recently, in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Out of those names, who do you see going in the Hall of Fame?
All of them except probably R-Truth.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. Mark Henry, yes. Big Show, definitely. Kane, definitely. R-Truth, not so much. Although,
I would say Goldust is definitely going in at some point.
Let me ask you something. Who's had a better career? R-Truth or The Godfather?
I mean, R-Truth is a former NWA world champion.
It's comparable, isn't it? I could see in like a slow year, maybe R-Truth. Maybe. But then again, he's coming up with so many guys who are going to retire around the same time as him that there's not going to be a whole lot of slow years coming up here soon.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Money, Mark De Niro.
Hey, friendos, has the goodwill and happy feelings for Southpaw Regional Wrestling already dissipated and has the opportunity to do something great with the concept already passed us all by?
They did something great with the concept. They stopped before they beat it into the ground.
Yeah.
It was a perfect little sliver of fun and joy. And maybe if they made it an annual thing where they go back and do four quick 5-minute episodes, then that would be totally good enough for me.
Bring back some of the favorite characters. Add some new ones. As long as Chet Cheddarfield's there, I'm happy.
Here's the only thing.
I just want Chet Cheddarfield.
Here's the only thing I would say.
What?
And this is perfect. Every leap year, have a lethal leap year. Because it's 4 years.
No.
It's once every 4 years.
No, they should have a lethal leap year every year that isn't a leap year.
Well, that's like every year except for every
year. I know, but if you have a lethal leap year every year, there is a leap year, you ruin the whole joke at the end of Southpaw. Because that year wasn't a leap year, and that's the joke of the whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
Spoiler alert.
I get your point. Okay, I get your point. Nate Morris. Cody did an interview where he said that there were plans to have him in the draft, where he would have been Cody Rhodes on one show and Stardust on the other, but somebody who won't be named had the final say and didn't go ahead with it. How do you think it would have worked out, and who do you think it was that didn't approve it? Well, Nate Morris is guessing Vince McMahon.
Yeah, it seems that way. Our friendo, Baby Huey,
mm-hmm.
over at, what's the radio station? 107.7 The Bone,
mm-hmm.
Sent us that interview.
Yeah.
Looked it over.
Yeah.
It would have been a great idea.
Yeah, it would have been fantastic. It would have
been fantastic.
It would have been really good.
I'm guessing it was based on, you know, how Cody phrased it. It seems like it was probably Vince that said no.
Probably.
Which is a bummer, because I believe in the interview he said everybody else was on board.
Only, yeah, if everybody's on board, then the only person who can veto everybody is Vince.
Yeah.
If you're to take his words literally.
Yes.
Then the only person who can veto everybody is Vince.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer, because how do you think how far in advance the brand split stuff was, you know, they started brainstorming and putting ideas into effect? Because that was in July. And when did he leave?
Probably around May. Oh, when did he leave?
Yeah.
I don't know. About a year ago? Was it post-Mania?
I'm just thinking, because if he left that far in advance and this was the idea for him, I mean, did they present him with that idea after he already left?
Oh, I would doubt that. And remember, we're talking about the draft wasn't... Oh, shoot.
It was in July last year.
That was in July. He hasn't been gone that long. Let's see here.
It was some point last year, right?
2016, May 21st.
May 21st. Okay, so that's 2 months before. That's entirely possible. They kind of already had the ball rolling on the draft and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. I would think that it was around then, probably. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if that was just one of the things that played into...
him leaving, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, next from... Ooh-ah!
Man.
This is Roman Reigns' cry before he goes into a spear.
Yeah. Post-WrestleMania, Stardust lost to Apollo Crews 4 times on TV, which was followed by a loss to Zack Ryder. So he was like a sub Kurt Hawkins.
Yes.
Wow.
Hey, friendos, long-time listener, first-time patron. Thank you very much. My question, you are in charge of the revival of WCW.
WCW.
To bring up to compete with WWE.
Yes.
Reviving WCW, even though WWE owns that name.
They auctioned it off.
Okay, how much would we buy it for? 2 bits.
A doubloon.
To do this, you need a venue,
mm-hmm.
for your first show, a head, mm-hmm. of creative, 5 mm-hmm. male wrestlers, 5 female wrestlers, and 5 tag teams that are not in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
An announce team, a ring announcer, and 1 male wrestler, 1 female wrestler, and 1 tag team that is currently in the WWE.
Mm.
Who are they going to be?
Okay, so our venue would be the VFW in Fair Oaks.
Okay.
So we can recreate the PWG.
I was going to say the old Arco Arena.
Oh, I like that. That's a good idea. Okay,
you win. That's empty now.
You win. Developmental NXT will be in
VFW
in Fair Oaks.
So we need a head of creative. Well, us.
Yeah, it's
if I'm spending the money to buy WCW, I'm going to run the thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
5 male wrestlers who are not in WWF.
Okay.
WWE.
Okay, well, good for us.
Adam Cole,
Leo Rush.
Yes.
Jeff Cobb.
Ricochet.
And, I want to say Matt Riddle, but I want to go outside the box further. We need a local guy.
Oh,
Kratos.
Yeah, JR Kratos.
I always want to say JT Kratos.
5 female wrestlers. Candice LeRae.
You always say Candice LeRae.
First one pops in my head.
It's like the only indie wrestler that we know that's a female. Hold on, I can get this.
Rachel Ellering.
There you go.
Tessa Blanchard.
Okay.
AJ Lee.
Oh, why didn't we get CM Punk for our male wrestlers? Seems like
he's going to be on the announce team.
Okay. All right. And then ODB.
Okay. Five tag teams. Chosen Bros.
Well, I mean... Does...
Young Bucks.
Okay.
War Machine.
Oh, goo, yeah.
Yano and Ishii.
Yano and Ishii. And... Hangman Page and Cole...
Chase Owens?
Chase Owens.
Good.
No, the Gorillas of Destiny.
What better. We need an announced team. CM Punk.
Yeah, CM Punk. Steve Corino.
Oh, yeah, Steve Corino, yeah.
And, well, one more guy. We have a third guy. Or gal. Mauro Ranallo.
Okay, good. A ring announcer.
Me? Oh, I want to do that.
Good idea.
Weighing in at 536 pounds, Coldwater Larson.
Wait, how much?
136 pounds.
Way more than that. All right, we need one male wrestler, one female wrestler, and one tag team currently in the WWE.
Oh, one male wrestler in the WWE. Brock Lesnar.
There you go. One women's wrestler, Charlotte Flair.
There you go.
One tag team. The New Day.
Daniel El Rudo. WWE, let's...
Let's be a part of a lumberjack match.
Okay, okay.
Who's wrestling in the ring and who are the, the other lumberjacks?
Okay.
Anybody from WWE.
Okay, in the ring is going to be Aleister Black versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay, good.
Okay, other lumberjacks. Braun.
Oh, we should have had Aleister Black as our WWE wrestler from WCW.
Let's flip it then.
Okay, done.
Okay.
Other lumberjacks.
I want, you know what?
Heavy machinery.
I'm going to do it's going to be heavy machinery and then all friendos.
Oh, okay.
I want Alexander Currenti.
Okay.
I want Adam Mayhem.
Jason the Cabbie.
Adam Fella.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that has, who's got heat with me in chat every week?
Oh,
Connor.
Yeah.
Connor something or
other? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Him.
Ulysses Kaufman.
We're gonna meet Christopher Kaufman. He's going to the New Japan.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Isn't that weird? It's crazy, right? And Fenris.
Yeah.
Although he was giving me shit the other day.
What for?
Yesterday.
What for? So the banana thing?
He was with you on the I have a bone to pick with Fenris. He likes the he showed a picture of his
ripe,
nasty
ripe bananas.
Looks like he picked it out of the trash.
No, that's when they're good.
And then Bam brought up banana bread, and I was like, "Oh, I love banana bread."
Yeah, you need really ripe bananas to make banana bread.
Yeah, I know. Like, does he think I'm an idiot or something? If you're eating the bananas from banana bread, then that's disgusting.
No, it's not.
They're so like the best banana bread is when they're super brown. They're like mushy.
I know.
But no, I'm saying if you eat that straight up, well, that's nasty.
You don't eat them when they're that mushy.
Exactly.
You wait or like a day or two prior
to
that.
Well, he's saying to me, well, you don't eat banana bread with green bananas. It's two different things.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant green banana versus brown banana.
Versus the bananas that are used for banana bread. Two different elements there.
You know,
I don't know that stuff.
Do you know this, that really ripe bananas help you poop? Did you know that?
Oh, that I didn't know. That's interesting.
Whereas green bananas can constipate you.
It's true. I've never had any problems. Look, here's the thing. I don't like them green. I like a hint of green. Just a little hint of green. I like them hard. I like my bananas hard.
I don't like them mushy, but I like them soft.
Yeah, I imagine Fenner's with just a mush of brown banana.
No, I mean, like, if you can...
He's trying to do I told you so.
If you can unpeel it and it falls over, it's probably too soft.
I shouldn't be running down Fenner's. He should be here to defend himself.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Twitter's for.
No, because...
He could just come on down. He lives, like, 2 miles away.
Hmm.
I love Fenner's. Anyways, we have some video questions.
Yes, we do. First one from Adam Fella.
From Adam Fella.
With another...
Video.
Question.
Let's see what it has to say.
Hey, friendos, your San Dimas champion, Adam Fella here, returning for another video question on this hot-ass Chicago afternoon. Now, fuck wrestling. Yes, Larson, fuck wrestling has had its share of really good matches among classic fuck wrestling, W Steve W, fun wrestling, and WGPW. They've all had their share of good matches. So my question is, what's your favorite fuck wrestling match, and which one of the fuck wrestling matches do you think would get a high rating from Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer? Thanks, friendos. Stay cool out there. Take care.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
I love Adam
this
so much.
This is the best question of the week. When I heard this, I got excited because my answer is the best answer. It's a great answer, but I want you to go first because I get, so I can say my answer and you can say, oh, that's the right answer.
Oh, no, there is only one answer.
What is it?
There's only one
what
right
is
answer.
It?
Top Notch versus Mecha.
Absolutely.
That's the only right
that
answer.
That is arguably the greatest match in wrestling history. Real video game.
Yeah.
It's a 29-minute classic.
Oh, it's amazing.
So much was riding on that match.
Yeah.
I hadn't beaten you in like 8 months.
Oh, yeah. Can I just say this? So I know I've been on a losing streak with you lately.
Oh, yes.
People have been able to kind of predict outcomes like in storylines and stuff because I've been crap lately. For the longest time, you could not beat and using anybody, you could not beat Mecha Santa.
Yeah.
And then you created Top Notch.
Yeah.
And that was, it was a sea change.
It really was.
You had literally taken, because you were using scrubs, you created a character who you actually put thought into. You matched me move for move and then one-upped me. And the design was so startling and jarring. It was the perfect confluence.
I literally tailored events. Everything he did to how you played the game.
I know. It was brilliant. A 29-minute classic, which culminated in the Bruno-esque reign of Mecha Santa holding that H title, dropping it to Top Notch.
Yes. If you haven't seen it yet,
the blue over
if
there.
You haven't seen it, check it out on our channel. It's great.
Yeah.
I want to watch it again.
Maybe we'll tweet it out.
Yeah.
We'll put a link. Can we put a link in the description?
Sure.
That's great. Next up from Farhan Bilgrami.
Hey, Stephen Larson. Thank you so much for all the wonderful content and keep up the good work. My question for you guys is, what do you think of using the UK title as the mid-card belt for NXT? I mean, they're not really doing anything with the UK scene for the moment anyways. And NXT kind of needs, you know, that belt. Something for people like Andrade, Cien Almas, or etc. Anyways. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what do you think about using the United Kingdom title as a mid-card belt on NXT?
You know, okay, for one thing, it's kind of already been used that way.
Somewhat.
Because they've been, it's the only other title they've been defending on NXT that isn't like an NXT title.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's a UK title. I kind of feel like if Andrade Cien Almas, as Farhan says, he's not from the UK, so he really shouldn't be touching that title.
Well, here's the thing. If the UK division gets their own localized television show in the United Kingdom, then I 100% agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when Shawn Michaels and Triple H held the
European Championship, there you go.
They weren't from Europe.
All right.
It depends. If they're going to integrate the UK title onto WWE programming all around, sure.
You know what their mid-card title should be? It should be the Performance Center title. And guys who are exclusively signed to the Performance Center, not from the indie realm, they should get a chance at that title.
I'm just trying to think of competitors who are on NXT regularly that are
none.
Developed pretty much fully in-house.
None.
Authors of Pain is pretty much it.
Mm-hmm, pretty much, yeah. Sean Maluda, Keanu Reeves. I can never tell those guys apart.
Kona Reeves.
I was watching last night, and wait, which one has... Yeah, Marissa was out there with me. And when Keanu Reeves showed up, she said, he looks like a glitched version of The Rock. Like, because his face, he had sort of his eyebrow up when he was milling about waiting for...
Oh, okay.
I was like, he totally does. He looks like a low-pixel version of The Rock. He looks like Ole Anderson to Arn Anderson. Remember Ole just looked like a D-pixel version of Arn?
Yeah. Next, TGX.
TGX.
What's up, friendos? And this is your reigning, defending, undisputed YouTube Game Review Champion, TGX. And as always, you can find me at TGX Game Reviews on YouTube. That's TGX Game Reviews. Come subscribe, come hang out, come have fun. Anyways, so my question is today, we have Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens on the same brand. That is fucking insane. But this is also a golden opportunity to create a brand new SmackDown 6. So, if you were to add two SmackDown superstars to this little kerfuffle to make it a SmackDown 6, a brand new SmackDown 6, who would you add? Personally, I think I would add Sin Cara in the Rey Mysterio role, and It's a bit of a toss-up because Baron Corbin, he's a bit of a wild card, and Dolph Ziggler, because you can't go wrong with Dolph Ziggler, so one of those two. Anyways, so that would be how I would do it, but how would you, or what two SmackDown superstars would you guys pick to create a brand new SmackDown 6?
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, who are the original SmackDown 6?
It wasn't who I originally thought it was. It was like...
It was Eddie.
Eddie, Edge, I think Chavo was in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, Brock.
Was Brock there? Hold on a second. I'll do it. You don't okay. do it. SmackDown 6. SmackDown 6 was... here's a picture of it. Benoit, Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, Eddie, Edge, and Chavo.
Okay.
That was the SmackDown 6. So who does he say should be in the new SmackDown 6?
Well, he says for sure AJ, Shinsuke, Owens, and Sami Zayn. And then he brings up Baron Corbin and Dolph.
Yeah, I would say Baron, definitely.
Yes.
And
I'm going to say this.
What?
He hasn't really been used much.
What?
Give him the opportunity, though. Ty Dillinger.
Well, that would actually be using him. That'd be doing something. No, I like that. That's good. I like that a lot.
They haven't done anything with him.
Ethan Weldon has a question. Let's see what he has to say.
What's going on, friendos? I got a question for you. Charlotte is probably the top heel in the company, in my opinion. And the events that transpired on SmackDown this Tuesday when she got attacked, do you think that is trying to plant the seed for a face turn for Charlotte? Because in my opinion, I think that this would be a horrible idea because she is really the only female that draws true heel heat. So I just want to know your guys' thoughts on it. See you later, friendos.
Thank you, Ethan.
Thank you, Ethan. I think we have seen a Charlotte face. I think that was a Charlotte face.
It was at least the start of it.
But here's the thing. And I agree with him. Like, she's a terrific heel, but I kind of feel like she did everything she could do. Here's the thing. I am firmly of the belief that Becky Lynch is going to turn heel.
Did you see what she said on Talking Smack?
It doesn't matter.
No, I know it's not.
She said it's about building trust at this point with Charlotte. She's going to lead that new faction. There's no real leader in that faction. It's going to be
Becky
Lynch.
Well, it's Natalya.
Because Becky Lynch doesn't... Because I know... So there's... Meltzer, I think, in Wrestling Observer speculated that a Backlash is going to be a tag match. Naomi, Charlotte,
Becky
Lynch.
Oh, I saw that.
Tell me that's not a perfect opportunity for Becky Lynch to turn.
It really would.
Oh, big time. That's going to happen, man. That's going to happen. Michael Berry has a question. Let's see what Michael has to say.
What's going on, friendos? It's Michael Berry, your new Going in Raw HR department. Guys getting pretty big. Think been getting a little raunchy too. Need to get it in line. But I'm a big fan of the challenge, and hearing that they're going to do a pros versus champs with CM Punk in there. I hear that you guys didn't fully understand it. Thought I'd explain it a little bit. It's best way I found of explaining it, because I'm a big fan. Nobody really watches it. It's like the Survivor, where two teams do a challenge at the beginning, and then the losing team has to vote people to eliminate, but instead of just the voting eliminating them, they vote two people in, and there's an elimination challenge. And it goes all the way till there's like six or four people left in the whole game, and then they do this huge day-long challenge where they might like do challenges going up a mountain. The season going on right now is a 3-day long challenge. And so my question for you is, pick 10 wrestlers from any era and their peak to be in this game together. Sorry, I'm a little out of breath. Just got out of the gym. But yeah, have a good one.
Thank you, Michael Berry.
Michael wants to be our new HR guy.
Okay.
He says that we're getting out of line. Michael, you need to put together some very low-budget HR videos.
I think you're the one getting out of line.
I'm out of line?
I stay in line.
Here, let's check this out. Penis. HR violation right there. May I rub your shoulders?
No, please.
See, this is perfect non-violation right there, because I asked you if I could rub your shoulders.
But even the fact of you asking me
really?
Would make me feel uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. In this day and age.
You shouldn't even ask.
Oh, no. Violation. So Michael Berry,
so you are the one getting out of line.
You need to, he needs to stay on that.
So we need to pick 10 wrestlers who'd like to see in the challenge. Now CM Punk, billed as a UFC fighter, is in the MTV's The Challenge.
Yeah, so I'd want to see CM Punk billed as WWE wrestler.
Yeah, there you go. There's one.
There's one. I'd want to see Brock Lesnar.
Of course.
I'd want to see Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable.
Okay. I'd want to see
Big E.
Big E.
That's
I'd want
five.
To see Becky Lynch. Heel Becky Lynch.
Six.
I'd want to see
Asuka, seven.
Oh, that's a good one. I'd want to see Fandango, but not Tyler Breeze.
I
want
to see Pete Dunne.
Oh, that's a good one.
One more.
And I want to see Rockstar Spud.
Well, he's not in WWE.
Adam Cole.
Again, not in WWE yet.
Brother Nero.
10.
That's 10.
10.
Thank you, Michael Berry. I expect huge things from our new HR director here at Going In Raw. Our friendo Adam Mayhem has a question. Let's see what Adam has to say.
Hey, friendos. Adam Mayhem here. So I just watched your Dirt Sheet video, and you're talking about Dean Ambrose and the whole promo thing. And I wanted to share a story because this happened a couple of years back, and I was around when it happened, so I know, like, the mentality behind it. So a couple of years back, Carlito got a tongue lashing by Ric Flair, which was basically the same thing. It was a promo where Flair was telling Carlito that he was very complacent and he was lazy and all that. And after the whole thing happened, Carlito walked away and he was, like, pissed off because he didn't find it fair. And what Flair said, it was that people in the back, the agents and everybody, like the old people, they knew that Carlito had the pedigree and the ability of being a really, really, really good worker, but he wasn't living up to that potential. Now, I am guessing that that's the same way that they are working with Dean Ambrose, that they see that he can do really good work, but he's not putting all that effort. Now, the actual question is, if you guys were Vince and had, you know, WWE, what would you guys prefer? Would you prefer a guy like Roman Reigns that gives you 100% all the time, but he has that ceiling that he's not an AJ Styles type of worker? Or would you prefer a Dean Ambrose type of guy that is a better worker, but he doesn't give it 100% the whole time, and usually when he's losing, like, you can't feel it and see it? So that's my question. Pick one. See you guys.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
So what would you prefer?
It was a good question. Reigns, you want it, like, a guy who busts his ass but just can't get it done, or Dean, who evidently is lazy?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends if you agree with the premise of Dean is as lazy.
Yeah.
As complacent.
Yeah.
I don't know if I do.
Yeah, me neither.
But I guess for the sake of answering this question, let's
assume
that.
Can we think of
a
lazy wrestler? Okay, so Randy Orton, I think Randy Orton, when he's not motivated.
Yes, is complacent.
He comes off as complacent.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, right now, you just want to ask yourself, who would you prefer on your TV? Roman Reigns or Randy Orton? For me, it's Randy Orton.
Really?
Yeah. It is.
And why?
Because I know he can turn it on just like that. Roman Reigns, not so much. He's trying to turn it on.
See, but here'd be my counter to that.
Can't turn it on, man.
Roman Reigns has already really been wrestling for, what, 6 years maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
And
by the time Austin was wrestling for 7 years, he was already like,
I understand, but some
draw.
People, it takes, you know, what? Takes them a little bit longer to figure everything out.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of the character aspects of things. So I think I would rather have someone who consistently, night after night, regardless of the situation they're in, busts their tail, knowing that maybe they really haven't exactly reached their full potential yet.
Yeah.
Versus someone who's been wrestling for 15 years.
Yeah.
Who seems to kind of get unmotivated pretty easily if he's not involved in a major thing. Because that means if I want the best out of that person, I have to keep them at the top of the card in the title picture just to get good work out of them.
Whoa, hold on a second. I don't think that's necessarily true. You don't have to keep them top of the card title picture to keep them interested. Got to give them interesting stories. Got to get them interesting to do things to do that don't need the title.
Well, that might be depends on what Randy values.
That's true. I won't disagree with that. I'm just saying if you give somebody like a really meaty storyline, they'd be hard-pressed to say, no, that's not interesting. It needs the title in it.
I don't know.
I do know.
No, you don't.
I'd rather have Randy Orton type.
You don't
wrestler.
Know.
I'd rather
next.
Have a lazy. I'd rather have Cian Almas, who just wants to party, than Roman Reigns. Tell me, who'd you rather see on TV, Cian Almas or Roman Reigns?
Well, Cian Almas.
It's exactly. You just proved my point. Thank you very much. I win.
Next, from Jason the Cabbie.
Oh, I love Jason.
Why, hello, friendos. It appears you've caught me during my breakfast. So I'm going to put this aside and let you all know that the leader of the lecherous, the viceroy of the vile, your ambassador to the empire of filth, Jason the Cabbie, is back. No 2-week sinus infection or laryngitis could put this sick fuck down. So, let us consider for a moment that it might be entirely possible that 205 Live has two of the best built feuds on WWE TV right now, between Austin Aries and Neville, and Akira Tozawa and Brian Kendrick. When you look at the other shows, and you keep NXT in a vacuum, it's a lot of go-nowhere story, a lot of awkward booking, and basically just a lot of disinteresting things going on. But yet, when you look at Aries and Neville, there's a lot of puppetry going on. There's a lot of back and forth. And then the incredible pace and build and not going into complete wackiness that Akira Tozawa and Brian Kendrick have, it almost brings you to a point where you don't want to see the blow-off between those two. So is it possible that that is what we have going on, and who would have ever thought that that would have been the case? Let me know what you think. Keep it filthy.
Thanks, Jason.
But thank you, Jason.
Next time, don't eat your breakfast. I don't want to see you eat breakfast. That's disgusting. Was that a beer that he was having for breakfast? What's happened to him, man? He's got that green mohawk.
Well, he said
now.
He had a sinus infection.
That explains the green mohawk? He's literally turned into a taxi driver. You realize that, right? He's posting those weird pictures of him with like his taxi driver like murder face. And then he's showing us him eating his breakfast. Anyways, what's his question?
He talks about the potentially the two best feuds on WWE TV right now being on 205 Live. Namely, Kendrick, Tozawa, Neville, and Aries. We've been saying Neville and Aries is at least the best feud on the Raw brand.
Yeah. Kendrick and Tozawa's up there, man.
Yes. And the thing is, they're focusing on character and they're taking their time with them. Both those feuds.
Are there any feuds that are noteworthy right now? Raw sucks. What's going on SmackDown?
Probably the most intriguing story on SmackDown is going to be AJ Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And that's just started.
No, he's right, man. Two best feuds. Well, what's going on NXT? Nothing's really happening on NXT. We're just getting to know a lot of people right now.
Yeah, they're kind of hit the reset after Mania.
Right. Yeah, no.
Well, I will say this.
That's messed
up. It's not on TV weekly, but Authors of Pain and DIY. That's a good feud.
Yeah, is that still happening?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. I kind of feel like their three-way should have been a blow-off at TakeOver.
Well, it would have been if DIY got moved up the main roster, but they're not going to main until there's a face tag team in NXT that can replace them.
Heavy Machinery, man.
Or TM61 when Shane Thorne gets
oh,
healthy.
Oh, that's right. TM61.
They're good.
Yeah, they are good. Alexander Currenti has a question. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, guys. Just listen to your SmackDown review. You guys were talking about Eric Rowan a little bit, and you guys want to see Luke Harper doing something. Why don't they put him back as a tag team? Take away the Wyatt kind of element. Give them a new name. Have them team together. They've put in great work together. Their matches with the Usos, you know, a few years ago were phenomenal. And actually, as a twist, have them be faces. The crowd wants to chant for Luke Harper. Eric Rowan's got great chemistry with Luke Harper. Imagine the matches they could have with the Usos. Call up the Authors of Pain to SmackDown eventually. And then you have this unbelievable juggernaut in the Authors of Pain going up against an unhinged team the fans are behind of Rowan and Harper, I think it would be great. I just wanted to hear what you guys think. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you, Alexander. One of our lumberjacks from our early
equipment. Yes.
Here's my thing. Harper and Rowan as a tag team, I would say yes. He makes some good points here. Mainly for Rowan.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rowan ain't doing anything. He's not doing anything. Now, would Luke Harper then feel like he's in a rut because he has to be the guy who's trying to help out Eric Rowan? My thing is, would it help Luke Harper at all? Because Luke Harper is a really spectacular talent, and I want him to move up the ladder. Is being in a tag team with Eric Rowan a help or a hindrance to Luke Harper?
Well, it depends what they're doing as a tag team. If they're in feud storylines that are interesting, you know, vying for the tag titles, I'd rather see Luke Harper do something than nothing.
Because
right now he's not doing anything, really.
I'm really curious to know what kind of, like, non-Wyatt personality Eric Rowan has.
Yeah.
If they do something, and this is cheesy, but if they do something where Luke Harper is trying to teach Eric Rowan to D-Wyatt, and he's pulling off becoming the Dude Harper,
yeah,
then he can bring...
Or Dean Ambrose clone.
No. See, that's the thing. Give me Dude Harper. And then he brings Eric Rowan along.
I'm just saying that
him.
Because he was literally wearing what Dean Ambrose wears on SmackDown the week before.
Yeah. Look, man, I'm saying Dude Harper plus Eric Rowan. He's trying to bring Eric Rowan along, but like Eric Rowan's a little slow in the head.
I was trying to think
because
of
because he's been brainwashed.
Other Coen Brothers movie characters that Eric Rowan could emulate. So we have Dude Harper.
Yeah, we have Dude Harper. And then, you know what? I don't think I've ever seen. I've never actually seen Raising Arizona.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I've never seen that one.
It's fantastic.
But now I'm trying to think of other Coen Brothers movies. Throw out some other Coen. Okay, like comedies, though.
Man Who Wasn't There. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, okay, there you go. Oh, my God. That's so perfect for Eric Rowan. God damn it, I love that movie. I don't want fuck, God damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man. He could be like a John Turturro's character.
Oh, yeah.
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 Don't talk bad about my kin. Bray Wyatt's my kin. Don't talk bad about Bray Wyatt, my kin.
There we go.
Oh, I love it. That's great. That's fantastic. God, I love that movie so much.
It's great.
I love that movie so much.
You should really watch Raising Arizona. It's really good.
Homer Stokes.
It's really good. Next, from Carlos Hackworth.
Friend of the little man. We should get one of them stumpy guys. You dumb some bitch. Then we look like a couple of Johnny Cunlatelys.
Oh, I love that movie. Anyways, I'm sorry. What now?
Carlos Hackworth.
Oh, our buddy Carlos Hackworth. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, what's going on, friendos? My question for you, being that Titus O'Neil has Apollo Crews as part of the Titus brand, could you see the Titus brand becoming a faction? The Titus brand will be consisted of low mid-card wrestlers and jobber tag teams that kind of need a kickstart, like the Golden Truth. Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas, Darren Young, when he returns from his injury. So, yeah. Could you book the Titus brand to be a faction? Thanks, Rendo. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Carlos.
Yeah.
What do you think about Titus brand becoming a faction?
I wish in my dreams, my wildest dreams. I would love that. That'd be great. Have him be like a manager type instead of like an actual wrestler.
Yeah.
Who would be in the Titus brand faction?
Well, we got Apollo Crews.
Obviously, Apollo Crews.
He brought up Curtis Axel.
Oh, man, that'd be so good. Curtis Axel. And, hey, every faction needs a tag team, Heath Slater and Rhino.
Yeah.
There you go.
That'd be good.
Oh, man, that's so much money right there. Because they need to do something with Curtis Axel.
I know.
Although, wait a second. Titus has been, like, killing Curtis Axel in dark matches across the land.
Well, that could be...
lead to it.
There's already a storyline there.
There's already a storyline there. Exactly.
Perfect. Say, hey, Curtis, you're not winning on your own. Join Titus brand and make it a win.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Hashtag make it a win.
Yeah.
Apollo Crews. He says, I've never seen Titus as happy as when I won my match. Maybe he has a point with this. He is on board because Titus is happy.
Yes.
He should have said, I've never seen anybody as happy over a win of mine as I saw Titus. That's what he should have said, right? I've never seen anybody cheer for my win except for Titus. Maybe he's got a point here.
All right, that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
We're done.
Thank you for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.